Well, good morning.
That's your dad, right?
I think I'm speaking, but we'll see. I might have somebody else join me. You guys have, we've been a part of something that is pretty amazing. We get to hear the stories of people, different ages and stages. We had three others baptized at 9. And we don't treat baptism as just a ceremony. We treat it as an opportunity for us to remember who we are, why we're here, what we get to do. I remember when I was baptized, and I don't think I'd ever even seen one before. I was brand new, and I remember the first thing I heard when I got out of the water were people applauding and cheering. And it's a picture of we've become part of a new family. And there's a celebration that goes on in heaven whenever someone accepts Jesus and is baptized. So we got to be a tiny part of that. And I'm just utterly grateful. I'm going to take just a few minutes, and because what baptism does for us is it's a reminder of, you know, why we're here and what we get to do. Some of you have anniversaries, and the anniversary is a reminder of who I am now. If it's a wedding anniversary, what promises did I make along the way, and how am I doing on them? And baptism does that for us. And Jesus gave us some instructions on what we should be doing as a church. And I'm afraid too many times churches get caught up in other things. And so I want to remind us of why we're here. The moment you become a follower of Jesus, you now have you have a mandate. This is what he said. He said, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I don't know if you can use bookends on Kindle. I don't know how that works. I've got all kind of books. I've got electronic, I've got the other. But bookends, on a shelf, what they do is they hold things together. There's two sides of it. Jesus kind of bookended his instructions to us with these two things. First is, all authority has been given me on heaven and on earth. Not some, not partial. We live at a time now where we have all kind of people jockeying for power. And those that have power want to hold on to it, and there are others that don't have it. They want to take them down. And we're constantly living in this environment that is anything but stable. Jesus has all authority. At the end of the day, the one that we will answer to is him, not somebody else, not regardless of how many billions they have. And we need to remember that he is... He's in charge. At the end of my life and yours, we're gonna sit down with him. I guess we'll sit down. I don't know if we sit in heaven or not. But we will answer to him for how we lived our lives. All power means that there is no one greater than him. No one stronger, no one more significant. The other bookend is, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's not only all-powerful, all-knowing, but he is always with us. And those bookends should hold us tight. And it should give us this idea that if he gives me an assignment, I ought to do it and not make excuses about it. He has given his followers everything we need to live successful lives. Everything. You're going to go home today. Some of you are going to watch TV. You might watch NASCAR or baseball or whatever. There'll be tons of commercials that are designed to do this. They want to make you discontent that you don't have enough, that you need this or that to be successful. You need more or newer. And we live in an age that being discontent can send us way off onto detours. God's given us His Holy Spirit. We just finished a series on this, that the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus with us, those of us that know Him, constantly. Jesus physically was with His disciples. He says, I'm leaving. I'm going to send you my Spirit, and my Spirit will be in. And we, oh, this is perfect. This is great. And so if I have God's presence with me, I've got the one that's all authority, all power is with me. He's also given me the Bible. The Bible is designed to be an instruction manual, so I have an idea how to live my life, how to make decisions, what is on the right track, what are things I should avoid. If I get off track, how do I get back on? He's also given us a family. We get to be, these people, after they're baptized, they heard people cheering that are part of their earthly family. Some of us are closer to our church family than our biological family. And we get to do this together. God has provided everything we need for success. He's given us all these resources, and now He's given us a goal. And the goal is simply this. I'm going to read this to you from what I read a minute ago. It says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. At New Hope, we've rephrased this, not to change the meaning at all, but just to make it a simple statement. Our goal is to help all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we live for. That's the filter we use for everything we do. At least we're working hard to do that. The goal for a follower of Jesus is to build our lives around what God has called us to be and to do. And that's for every age and every stage. You've got some littles that were baptized today. This is their assignment. In the 9 o'clock service, we had a young girl that, I'm thinking she was probably 7, that came to support one of her friends that was being baptized. She's not too young to get it. She's not too young to be a part of this. How do I help my friends? You know, we've had baptisms before. We have had children baptize their parents. Because the child got it first. And there's not a rule on who baptizes. You got to see parents and friends baptize here. It's who's been an influence to help you come to this point of accepting Jesus Christ. And all of us have this opportunity and responsibility to tell others about who Jesus is. It's for all ages, all people. No one gets a pass. No one opts out. And this idea of all people, the word here, nations, in this passage, it's the word ethnos. It's where we get the word ethnic. It means everybody, not just a handful, not just a few of the special people. Every person on planet Earth was created in God's image. And therefore, there is dignity that goes along with that. And we're to treat them all with that kind of dignity. No one should be ignored or avoided or favored or dismissed. It's interesting when you begin looking at this passage too, is that not only do we have this goal, and the word disciple is just a fancy word for a student or a learner or a follower. We're to go, each of us that know Jesus, and to help others discover who Jesus is and encourage them to become followers too, all different kinds of people. And the game plan is the same for every one of us. How we accomplish this, it's within every one of our realms. And that is that we are just to invest in others and to try to inspire them to want to follow Jesus too. This idea of investing, that means that I use all my time, I use my talent, I use my ability, I use my money, I use all that to be a part of what God's doing and trying to help people get to know Him. That's what we do as a church. Everything we do is filtered by this. How can we accomplish this goal? How can we help people understand more about Jesus? And it takes being deliberate. And this idea of inspiring people is just, am I living in a way that would cause someone to want to know Him? One of the metrics that they're measuring right now is there is a number of people that have been turned off to Jesus not because of facts about his life, but because they've seen people that claim to follow him and they are disgusted by what they see. If I'm not living, if I'm not demonstrating something about Jesus' character, that's not going to be very attractive. It's going to turn people away. So I need to figure out, all of us need to, how do I invest my life in others? And I love it. We heard parents talk about how they had raised their children to understand who Jesus is, answering questions in age-appropriate ways, involving them in being part of a church and being around others that can help bolster and strengthen that message too. We have friends that baptize. We have friends that have been a huge influence. We have classmates, coworkers, neighbors. All of us ought to be investing our lives so that people in our spheres of influence have a chance to understand who Jesus is and what he's doing. Tons of opportunities. You're surrounded by them. Some of us opt out. I'm too busy. I don't have enough time. I was really proud of Nora's dad saying that even though he's in the military and is constantly being deployed, he got to be here for this. And he also knows who's taking care of his daughter when he's not around. Jesus gives us opportunities, and we need to make the most of them. And the way we operate should inspire others or intrigue them to want to know Jesus. I don't have to have all the answers. In fact, I'm going to give you a quick lesson. Some people I've talked to say, well, I don't want to talk to anybody about Jesus because they might ask me one of those questions I don't have an answer for. I'm going to tell you exactly how to respond to that. And I'm going to give you three words, and if you'll repeat these after me, you'll be equipped to handle it when someone asks you a question that really catches you off guard. The answer to this is, I don't know. So I'm going to count to three. I want everyone to repeat that. One, two, three. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with saying that. And what you can follow it up with, I don't know, but let me see if I can find out. There are some of us that are silent because we're afraid we're going to be embarrassed or be shown that we don't know everything. And some of us also will, I'm not really living the life, so I don't want to say anything. Well, start living better. You know, we're to teach them to obey all Jesus' commands. That means I need to be following. And if I blow it, I go ask forgiveness and move forward. But we are God's advertising program. He wants us to invest in all the people in our spheres of influence. And he wants us to do it in a way that could inspire them and intrigue them to want to know him. Not to impress. Our whole culture is built on trying to impress others. We should be inspiring, not drawing attention to us, but drawing attention to Jesus by how we're choosing to live and invest our lives in others. If we do that, this one that has all the authority, the one that is with us always, will be pleased and proud. And we will, I mean, I'd love it if we did baptisms every Sunday. We've got work to do, and we have a perfect environment to do it. A culture that is, people are looking for hope, they're looking for help, they're looking for some meaning. Let's show them the way. Let me pray. God, thank you for today and for the chance to be a part of sharing with these that have been baptized. Protect them, strengthen them, help them to be good models for us in sharing our faith. And may all of us take this opportunity you've given, not that we have to, but that we get to. And may we see many of our family and friends and neighbors and coworkers and classmates come to know you because we've chosen to invest and inspire. In Christ's name, amen.